Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
Back to the Paul Gallant Show, coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Justin Verlander's back with the Astros. Framber Valdez threw a no-hitter last night, and the Astros are just a half game back of the Texas Rangers in the AL West. It feels inevitable at this moment in time. And on the most interactive sports talk show in Houston, this isn't Tab, who we've been waiting to call back, our Rangers fan friend, who's called a couple of times talking a little bit of trash. We now have Ranger Dan calling into the most interactive sports talk show in town. Ranger Dan, what's up?
Wah, you guys are going to be so bad in 4 years. You signed a 4-year pitcher. Wah, we're going to beat you guys this year. Wah.
Okay, so this is the guy impersonating Rangers fans?
Yes, I believe so.
Okay.
If I read that right.
I'm a little disappointed. I want to fight somebody today, right? And all we got was Vanessa. That's it.
Yeah.
And it led to a lot of misogyny, which I'm not really comfortable with.
But you're against.
I'm against misogyny.
Okay, okay.
Yes,
you just said you weren't comfortable with that.
I wanted to dial it up a little bit. Who were like, yeah, stay in the kitchen, bitch. Like, whoa. Okay, and I'm paraphrasing. No one actually said that quote, but
I think someone got pretty close.
There was a lot of mansplaining that took place on the show afterwards, and we're trying to be better as a program, huh? Yes, We're better than that. We have some comments on the text line. A salty Rangers fan at work said they need to check Framber for Vaseline after his no-no last night. Last night was huge for Framber. It's been a rough month plus. And I really think that loss to the Rangers, where he seemed to lose his mind, this was a massive bounce back. And to bring up a couple other texts, bringing up what this does to team morale, it really is a great shot in the arm, and it is 100%. Jim Crane indirectly telling his players, I believe in you. We're going to give you every single resource you can this year, next year, and the year afterwards by having Justin Verlander for the rest of what is a 3-year contract, which will largely be paid by the New York Mets. And yes, you did have to give up your best prospect, 68th overall, Drew Gilbert. You did have to give up Ryan Clifford, an 11th round pick who a lot of people like, but the Mets are going to pay $35 million of the 58 remaining on Verlander's deal, 17.5 on that 2025 option if it is vested. He's going to be essentially a $17 million a year player. Are you kind of doing that already with somebody else named Jose Abreu, which hasn't worked out so well? Let's not talk about that. Let's talk about how, with Verlander pitching the way he is now, assuming he is healthy, now going forward for your pitchers, you have Verlander and Framber, Christian Javier, Hunter Brown, J.P. France, Lance McCullers, Jose Urquidy, Luis Garcia. Now, of course, availability for Garcia and McCullers is a question mark right now, but you have the option to go back to a 6-man rotation the remainder of this regular season to give your arms the much-needed rest for all the big months of the season in October, and you can feel pretty good about doing it if you want to go that route. Dana Brown said, though, that they're not marrying themselves to that route, at least of yet. He was on the Astros broadcast last night in the middle of Framber's no-hitter, and he said this about that fine line of making sure that you have a good farm system, but also making sure you have the best possible team that you can going into the final stretch of the year.
That's always the tough part because, you know, building the championship club, you always want to keep, you know, your prospects, and sometimes these guys are going to be keep everything sustainable. And then you have that other side where you're like, well, we're in the window. Our window is open all the time to win and win championships. And so you have to balance it out, and you have to make some tough decisions.
Right. It's not Jeff Luhnow doing what he did in the original Verlander trade or the Gerrit Cole trade or the Zach Greinke trade. You are giving up a couple of prospects, and they might be good. I would say, though, if we're just playing it from a numbers perspective as opposed to acting like we know what those prospects are, it's very likely that what Justin Verlander will give you over the next 3 years is going to be more than what Drew and Gilbert or a Ryan Clifford can bring to the table 3 to 4 years down the road. And, yeah, it's important to keep yourself as good as you can for a long period of time. But are the Astros not in a different conversation? Having been to 6 straight ALCS, having been to 4 of the last 6 World Series, having won 2 of them, you're in a different spot. The idea of reloading is for, let's be honest, cowards who are afraid to spend big money. And there's a lot of that in baseball. Really, the only organization that I feel like has shown that they don't care about spending all that is necessary to win, and it hasn't worked out really, but I'll give them credit for spending, the Los Angeles Dodgers. But the Yankees don't do that. The Red Sox don't do that. Those are the two teams that have the biggest payrolls in baseball, at least they've seemed to over the last 20 plus years or so. The Astros are doing the most that they can with the resources that they have. That's what every fan should, if they live in a perfect world, get from the ownership group that owns their team. And it is hard to find that. And I get that some people don't like the way that Crane operates, but I respect Crane for constantly being competitive enough to put out the best possible product in the present, not thinking about down the road.
Yeah, because like this championship window, like Dana Brown said, like realistically, it's really a question of, do you want to be kind like good this year and then kind of taper off but not go too far down in the 26, 27, 28, like deep into the future years? Or are you okay sacrificing a little bit of the 27, 28 years where you're probably not going to be good enough to win a World Series anyway to try to win a World Series the next 2 or 3 years?
Yep.
It's like, you know, in 2028, the Astros might be, you know, 70, 75 and whatever.
Worth it.
Or they might be 68 and whatever. Who cares?
Worth it. Look, they all come to an end eventually. I'm learning that the hard way as a Patriots fan. Like, eventually these runs stop. Keep it going as long as you possibly can. And I mean, the Patriots upped that up at the end. They should have kept Tom Brady.
You look at the Golden State Warriors, who are like committed to the, this is two timelines. We will have the current Steph, Clay, and Draymond timeline where they did win a championship in 2022. And then, but also we'll have the James Wisemans, the Kamingas, the Moodys, the Jordan Pools. All those guys got traded, except for Kaminga. Kaminga's still on the team. And it's like that. You won in 2022. The two timeline things worked because you just won in 2022.
And generally, the players that you know are the ones that are going to keep it going. Football's a little bit different because of the shelf life for players, but I think you made a great comparison there, Sean, to basketball, where it is a little bit more similar. And it's been the same guys this whole time. What's wrong with bringing one of the same guys back? A couple of people are texting in about the clubhouse presence that Verlander brings. I think that's overrated on this team. They don't need a clubhouse presence. They're fine. It is a jolt in the arm for sure, but is Verlander going to make the clubhouse like, they're more prepared? No,
now it's Ubuntu.
It's been 6 years. They're fine, right? Like, there's plenty of guys on a list that you could also bring up and say, yeah, this guy knows what it takes to compete to succeed in the postseason, specifically Jose Altuve.
Half the guys know what it takes to succeed in the playoffs because they did it last year.
Exactly. Great point. Great point, Sean. Like,
probably more than half. I also remember when Justin Verlander left, like, this offseason, and there's a lot of, like, good. See you later.
Yes.
But also remember
those people today, by the way?
Remember the 2021 playoffs where he was supposed to throw out the first pitch and apparently there was like a rebellion in the team?
Yeah.
That was like, no, F him.
Yeah. Yeah, because he wasn't around the team
for a while. How far have we come?
I got to say, you know, we are prisoners of the moment as fans, but you should be, given that that's the case, as an Astros fan today, jubilated. Jubilate in jubilation?
Excited?
Yeah, one of those.
You should be jazzed.
Yes, you should, Sean Mapes. Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up again. There were a lot of people dumping on him on the way out. And where are you, person that dumped on Verlander on the way out? Oh, he's in his 40s. Yeah, he had a great ERA last season. Oh, he was good in the World Series. Come on, guys. Like, the lack of respect that Verlander got on the way out from some, not all, but
yeah,
some,
to me, is
despicable.
I honestly think it was like, I don't know, less than 20% of the fan. Like, it was a vocal minority, but it was vocal.
You should have to grovel at his foot. You should have to grovel. Grovel for his forgiveness. I'm not saying he's like a demigod or something like that. I just think, given that this city is known for its friendliness and hospitality, I feel like you guys were dicks on the way out. That's all I'm saying. Paul Galacho, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, 713-780-3776 to call in and to text in. Okay, so you got a great top of the rotation right now. You didn't really do anything to the lineup. Where are the Astros relative to the Rangers, the rest of the American League, and, of course, the good teams in the National League after what they did yesterday? We'll discuss that next. It's the Paul Gallant Show. Stick around.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's Paul Gallant. Join the devastation by dialing or texting 713-780-3776.
It's y'all's job to stir the pot a little bit. We weren't worried about that, man. I think you can see, looking around this locker room, how tight we are as a group. And that's what we fed on.
How do you sum up this Astros run since 2017?
One word. Dynasty.
Dynasty, baby. Right now, there's a debate up on ESPN. Oh, it's not First Take. They don't know what they're talking about on this one. Jessica Mendoza's being asked, who's the more impactful AL West addition, Verlander or Scherzer? She says Verlander. And had she said Scherzer, I know a lot of the sexists on the most interactive and sexist sports talk show in Houston.
Probably not.
Yeah, Granada's pretty bad.
I wasn't going to name names.
Well, I mean, there's a whole commercial for HR&P.
Oh, yeah, true.
Oh, it wasn't Granada. But it should have been, was the
it
asterisk.
It could have been, yeah.
You're right, it could have been. It could have been here. So, Verlander's back in the mix. You got, I think, the best 1-2 combination going into these playoffs in the American League. Because right now, you don't have that from the Yankees. I don't think you have that from the Baltimore Orioles. I could be wrong. And if you're really taking a look now that we are already assuming the Astros are going to overtake the Rangers, I think that's a fair assumption to make, by the way.
What? They're half game back.
But it's not just that. Like, the Rangers have been playing poorly of late, and this is a stretch in the Rangers' schedule. Like, the next four series, they play three teams that they should beat, and they got swept by one of them.
They got swept by the Padres.
Right. So I feel like now they've got Verlander in the mix to help out with a rotation that's been, dealing with a lot. Like, it's been just J.P. France of late until Framber Valdez threw the no-hitter last night. So you look at them right now, and, the Rangers are already an afterthought to me.
Brandon Bielak's starts are going to be replaced by Justin Verlander.
Wow, that is – I got a pants tent just thinking about that. That's incredible.
I mean,
no offense to Brandon Bielak.
I know.
But we said it yesterday. We're done with Bielak.
Thank you for your service, Bielak. But you know, I'd like to see you next time I'm in Sugarland. I'd like to see you on the hill when I'm watching the Space Cowboys.
Or I'd like to see you celebrating with the Astros in a World Series, but probably not pitching at any moment during that postseason.
Off the playoff roster.
18-inning game in the smoke in Seattle. So right now, I mean, here's the other interesting thing. You take a look at the National League. Did you know there's really only one team that has separated itself?
Atlanta.
There's only two teams with 60-plus wins in the National League. Wow. One of them is the Dodgers. The other one is the Braves. And the Braves have 68, which is the most in baseball. It really is the Braves. And I think the idea of a potential rematch with the Braves or Dodgers, the two best records in the National League right now, that is the next step. That is the, not final, but that is the next part of this being the potential best run in Houston sports history. You either rub it in the Dodgers' face that they're a bunch of choking dogs in the playoffs with all that money, asterisk World Series excluded, or you get vengeance for losing to the Braves in 2021. One or the other, that's on the table. And yeah, I'm already forgetting about the American League.
Yeah.
Someone texted in, and it's a fair text, I suppose. Paul, you're such a homer. What do y'all do if this don't work out? Who you guys going to blame then? God. That's who I'll blame. God.
NHI.
Non-human intelligence. You're right, Sean. Alien invasions. Because if this doesn't work out, probably some sort of disaster happened. Yeah. I'll blame Ukraine for asking for it from Russia. I'll blame Russia for acting on their urges in the nuclear war. I'll blame China. I'll blame Taiwan. I'll blame Biden. I'll blame Trump. I'll blame DeSantis. I'll blame anybody. Because the only thing that's stopping this meteor heading towards the World Series, Paul, yes, he is a homer, is an act of God. Write that down. And then forget about it if the Astros don't win the World Series or the AL West. We'll just totally forget that
the real the real answer to that, to the texter, though, is probably Dusty Baker. That's probably who's going to get blamed if this doesn't go well.
That's,
I mean,
so true.
He gets blamed when they win the World Series.
He does get blamed for everything. That is really funny. So that's where we're at, guys. Like, World Series? Lock? I don't know. I'm just a man. It's good to have Justin Verlander back, though. Verlander, remember when he had his first World Series win? Like, maybe that's the monkey off his back for that rematch of the World Series with either the Dodgers or the Braves, which, yes, we are very much projecting right now. And you could totally put that in the past.
I feel like every year we look forward to a rematch with the Dodgers in the World Series,
yeah,
and
we do.
It's never happened.
Yeah, because the Dodgers, it's not the Astros' fault. The Astros, they've been there 4 or 6 times. The Dodgers haven't been back but once. Check that twice.
The 17, 18, and 20. Asterisks.
Yeah, the asterisk. That's
that doesn't count.
That's right. So it doesn't count. Thank you.
They literally had a player with COVID on the field. There's one rule: don't have COVID. They broke it.
Help me with my homer math. Thank you. Look, while we're at projecting things down the road, do we want to have like time capsule takes for Drew Gilbert, both good and bad, so we could pretend that we were right all along?
Yeah, so do you want to just like roll on a take?
I'll just roll on
and
it.
And then I'll clip that.
We'll clip
and
it.
And then you roll on the flip side, and yeah. I'll clip that.
Perfect.
Okay, and then in 2027, I can...
We could release them.
Yeah,
okay. We could release the tapes. Only if we were right.
One of the tapes.
The one that was wrong is deleted.
Okay.
Remember way back in the day when the Houston Astros traded something called Drew Gilbert for Justin Verlander, and then Drew Gilbert was out of baseball working as a logger in the forests of Oregon? Who was the show that told you first? It was this show. We told you that Drew Gilbert wasn't anything to sweat about. But he's the 60th best prospect, Paul. Yes, and now he's a logger. I suppose maybe we shouldn't be so specific with the future prediction as far as what Drew Gilbert is doing.
His career path?
Yeah, his career path. Look, to expect that Drew Gilbert was going to help the Astros out in the short term was crazy. to be upset about him being traded. Also crazy. All right, now let's do the Drew Gilbert was good. I can't believe that Dusty Baker forced Jim Crane and forced Dana Brown to trade Drew Gilbert, the greatest baseball player of all time, as we all said he'd be, for Justin Verlander. It's one of the greatest crimes that a man has wrought upon a sports city. May God have mercy on Dusty Baker's soul. Boom. We got them both. Time bolt.
Boom.
Time capsule. Anyway, it's the Paul Gallant Show, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. We've really buried what should have been the lead. Framber Valdez threw a no-hitter last night. And I think the most exciting part about Framber Valdez throwing a no-hitter is the fact that he did it the start after a dreadful performance against the Rangers. Like a total buzzkill of a performance against the Rangers where he hits Marcus Semien. Was it intentional? I don't know. And then it just seemed like his entire demeanor changed. He seemed to be pacing more, sweating more, flustered by minor setbacks, which is one of those things where, you know, if you've read about Framber, I think there was a piece about him during the 2021 World Series. Like, it's always possible. He, I think, beats himself up pretty hard when he's not pitching very well out there. So to bounce back like this is great, and it really goes back to what Framber has been for the most part, maybe not the last month, but for the most part these last two seasons, which is the epitome of consistency.
Yeah, when he's on, he's, like, fantastic. Like, watching the game last night, and he's, like, he was just on. Like, I don't even know how to describe it. He was just on his A game. Just everything yes. was just, like, perfectly executed with Maldonado. And I was watching, and I mentioned
a key word there. Maybe Sean Mapes, Martin Maldonado, shouldn't be on the bench maybe. Not catching for the rest of the season after that. He did call a no-hitter. Yet another no-hitter for the Astros the last couple of years. Yeah.
He's had three no-hitters.
Bill Belichick of baseball.
There we go. Yeah, I was watching, and the crowd was getting into it, and I was like, oh, wow, great crowd on you know, what, a Tuesday night on the trade deadline? And then after the final out, when Todd Callis said that he had a no-hitter, I was like, wait, he had a no-hitter? No one jinxed it. No one mentioned it. I was just, I put my phone down. I wasn't looking at Twitter. I was just enjoying a nice game on the television, and I was like, what a surprise.
Not enjoying it that much, clearly, Sean. Some baseball fan you are, but I have an admission to make. So yesterday I spent like the whole day shopping for cars. I drove all the way to Alvin only to find out that a car that was listed for one price, I had to pay a mandatory like $2,500 fee to the dealers, like, because like, oh, we're wholesale. You know, we cut the middleman out. Like, so what the hell is the $2,500 fee? What are you effing talking about? And why isn't this listed on the website? So I drove all the way to Alvin, the city where everyone tailgates for no reason. There's nothing there. Getting there 1 minute later isn't going to hurt you, Alvin.
That's the way Nolan Ryan did it. That's the way everyone from
Alvin
does it.
Thank God that they produced Nolan Ryan, because otherwise, what? Just based off of me driving around there yesterday, everyone's tailgating. Like, do you all have small penises? Anyway, that's neither here nor there, Alvin, where it is personal with you all of a sudden. But I drive back, and I go to the gym. I get my workout in, and I generally wrap up my workouts by getting on the elliptical because my knees suck. So I put on the Astros game, and I see, like, oh, Framber's cruising. It's the eighth inning. 1, 2, 3, down. And I tweet out, like, this is a great night for Framber. And then all of a sudden, like, the next inning starts, and Todd Callis says, oh, well, 24 up, 24 down. I'm like, oh, damn. Did I just miss out on a perfect game, possibly? And I see the scoreboard, no hits. Oh, my God, it's at the very least a no-hitter. And then I thought for sure that people were going to come after me with knives online for jinxing a no-hitter and jinxing a perfect game, which, by the way, it doesn't exist. Witchcraft and sorcery are not real, people. Maybe NHI are, but those things are not. The idea of jinxes is so dumb. And I think some people are in, like, on the, let's have some fun with this. This person mentioned that a no-hitter is happening. But there are other people who are crazy enough to believe that if I say something, it is going to affect anything else in the world. Like, if I were to say smorgasbord as opposed to charcuterie right now, all of a sudden that means that a random child living in Somalia is going to just drop dead of spontaneous combustion. Whether or not I say that word, like it has any effect on anything else.
the idea of jinxes is wrong, stupid, and dumb, and it goes back to like us being crazy in the 1600s, setting witches on fire in Salem, Massachusetts, because there was like some sort of rash of like mushrooms that had gone bad, and everyone had something living in their brain, and they all lost their minds and were hallucinating and stuff. This sounds like a crazy, unhinged rant. All I'm trying to say is this. Jinxes aren't real. You're allowed to mention that it's happening over the course of a game. And I was kind of annoyed that Todd Callis couldn't just tell me it's a no-hitter. I was kind of annoyed that Todd Callis couldn't just tell me it's a perfect game.
But, the Astros have the most no-hitters. I think they have like 3 of the last 5 no-hitters thrown in baseball.
That's crazy.
And their booth never mentions when there's a no-hitter in progress. I'm just saying. Every other booth is jinxing their guys left and right. You know, a guy gets out of the second inning without giving up a hit. They're like, no hitter watch. Todd Callis, Jeff Blum, professionals, pros. They don't do that.
Yeah, I kind of wish they did.
No, then they wouldn't have thrown to the no hitter.
Stop with this. What are you, from the 1700s?
Yes.
No, we are.
That's why I agree with all the views on women that have been expelled, because I'm a pilgrim.
If you're a pilgrim, you would tell them all to stay inside.
Yeah,
because of the danger. Because there's Native Americans out there,
and I'd be
and
like,
cholera.
What is this talking? How are we hearing those voices right now?
From the 409. This is a crazy, unhinged rant. Yes, it is. I have no defense for
some
that
of it. Some of it was due to Alvin. Alvin gets some of the blame.
Alvin. It's 100% Alvin's fault. Someone texted in, "I am from Alvin, and I have a small penis." Well, I'm sorry, man. I hope that you're not a tailgater as a result of that. Someone actually texted that. By the way, we didn't make that up.
I don't believe you.
No, that's there. It's from the, what's his number? From the 832.
Yeah. Okay.
It happened. Anyway, it is the Paul Gallant Show. ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. And yeah, that was an unhinged rant. But you know what's not unhinged? The money you could make if you join Circa's 2 challenges during football season. The Circa Resort and Casino. I talk about it all the time. It's my favorite place in Las Vegas. You've got the inside sports book with stadium style seating with every single TV and every single game on, especially on a college football Saturday, that you could ask for. Same thing on a Sunday. And guess what? They also have this massive television screen, a bunch of television screens outside at a pool. Watch by the pool, watch by the sports book. And on top of that, make a ton of money. $14 million in guaranteed prizes for the Circa Million Challenge and the Circa Survivor Challenge. The Circa Million Challenge, $6 million in guaranteed prizes. You put in $1,000, you pick 5 games against the spread every single week. The winner takes home $1 million. The entry that does the worst wins $100,000. And the Circa Survivor Challenge, $8 million guaranteed to the winner, $1,000 an entry. If you make it all the way through 20-0, you're going to win $8 million. You got to enter, though, at the Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Fly out to Vegas, put down a grand. Make yourself some money, Circa Resort and Casino.
ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. You're hooked up with it.
Toss a coin to your witcher.
Back to the Paul Gallant Show, coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
It just is so symbolic for me that my first win in the World Series is just such a great team win. You know, there's so many people that go into all these wins in my career, you know, countless individuals that I've played with that have made great plays in certain situations that get overlooked, and you know, to have it happen on the biggest stage tonight, you know, was pretty special.
Justin Verlander, after he got his first World Series victory at age 39 in Game 5 of last year's World Series against the Philadelphia Phillies, the Astros go on to win it in 6, their second World Series ever. And now he's back because the Astros traded away Drew Gilbert, their top prospect, 68th overall, Ryan Clifford, who was an 11th round draft pick, to New York, the Mets, who had signed Verlander this offseason. In exchange, the Mets doing the Astros quite the solid. They're going to pay $35 million of Verlander's contract the next 2 years out of $58 million. $35 is going to get spent. $17.5 million of his 2025 option if it vests. So essentially, he's going to be pitching for $17 million a year at age 40, 41, and 42. And if he's pitching at the level that he pitched at last year or at the level that he's pitched over the last month, that is much needed for a team that could be without Luis Garcia and Lance McCullers for a very long period of time, and a team that I think needs another reliable starting arm the remainder of this regular season so it's not tax going into the postseason. Hasn't been Christian Javier's best year, hasn't been Hunter Brown's best year, hasn't been Framber Valdez until last night's best month. You need help. JP France can't be the guy that's doing it all alone as you try to make sure that you win the AL West. Because you win the World Series, I think, only if you get that AL West victory. I think you do still need, even with Verlander aboard, I still think you need to be the one or the two seed. I don't want to go through the hassle of these stupid fake minor league wild card series.
Yeah, the it just adds too much just rinky-dink randomness to the thing. So yeah, if you just get the bye, keep it pushing. That's really what the Astros need to do. And going forward, Astros fans, I just want us all to be on the same page. Every bad start that Justin Verlander has, that's one the Mets are paying for.
Yeah.
That one's on the Mets.
Exactly. Think about it from that
All the good ones, that's
those are the Astros.
Jim Crane playing five-dimensional chess.
We did have a caller that said that. Yeah, they agreed on this during the offseason. They knew the Mets would suck, and then Verlander would be able to come back. Wow, we got a lot of people on the text line clamoring to hear about another topic. We're going to wait just a moment to potentially get there because it is the most interactive sports talk show in Houston. And we do have somebody calling in about the Astros. His name is Ryan. Ryan, welcome aboard.
What's going on, Pop Top?
Anyways,
I have a legit question. So what happens when your TD comes back? Are they going to send down JP France or are they going to send down Hunter Brown? I'll hang up and listen.
Well, that is an interesting question. There's probably somebody else. It can't be one of those two.
Well, it'll be Fromber, Javier, JP France. Funny.
He's talking about
Justin Verlander,
the minors, right?
No, yeah, but I'm just counting them out. The starters will be Fromber, JP France, Verlander, Javier, Hunter Brown.
I got an idea. And listen,
Urquidy. That's six.
I'm dumb when it comes to baseball. I'll admit it. And I don't know how this works.
Oh,
I don't. Because I think there's a certain point in time where you no longer can be sent down to the minors. But
yeah,
Rafael Montero. No. We accidentally DFA'd Montero.
Yeah, hope no one claims him. Because that's what it is. Like, if you pass a certain amount of options or something.
Right, you can't.
You can't be
sent down to the
willy-nilly. But yeah, but someone would have to claim you on your contract. So someone would have to claim.
Off the top of my head, I don't know who has options left on the roster right now. I don't know off the top of my head.
I think just Bielak goes down, right?
That would make sense. That seems like it would be easy to do. Right, yeah.
Seth Martinez?
As far as who pitches during the postseason, I mean, right now, Urquidy and Hunter Brown are not guys that you're putting in, I think. I feel
yeah,
like they're probably long relief. Like,
yeah.
Just like when Urquidy came into the postseason last year. Like, hey, it's a good arm to have in the background, but that's not an arm that you want to rely on.
Or Luis Garcia's performance in Seattle in the Game 3, when part of it is because it went a million innings, but where he just gives you some length, either if your starter gets shelled early on, which perhaps happens from time to time, or not even shelled, they just had to leave in the fourth inning, and you just need someone to go three innings.
Mm-hmm.
You'd rather have it's not a bad problem to have, is too many starters.
Ronel Blanco, I guess you could send him down.
I think he's already down.
Send him down again.
Okay. When I was
we're smart when it comes to baseball talk, guys.
No, well, that was because at ESPN 97.5 night at Sugarland, he was the starting pitcher, was Ronel Blanco.
Send down Martin Maldonado.
No. Oh, no, 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 no. I think I might just become a Maldonado stan.
Apologist?
Yeah. I mean,
you call it Stan, I'll call it apologist.
I have some pretty good ammunition.
What's that? No hitters?
Yeah, duh.
That's literally it.
No one else on the Astros has caught a no hitter.
That's true. Didn't Christian Vasquez catch one of those no hitters? I'm just throwing that out there.
As a Maldi apologist, I will say no, he did not.
Okay, there you go.
No one's allowed to text in or tweet in or call
Listen,
in.
Listen, guys, we don't care about facts. It's just about sounding entertaining on the air. So if Christian Vasquez did catch one of those, Sean, are you going to say that it was because Martin Maldonado was whispering in his ear what he should do and what he should do?
He was out there. He might have even called the game. We don't know.
Boom, shakalaka. All right, it's the Paul Gallant Show. ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. A couple of people bring up that Blanco is pitching today. Yes.
For the Astros?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Hooray.
Call him down. Well, not yet, but then call him down.
Coming up next, any final thoughts that you might have on Justin Verlander and his return to the Houston Astros? Plus, we do have to talk about one thing that happened yesterday. I'm sorry. I'm being held at gunpoint. I don't even work there anymore, but I'm being held at gunpoint to talk about it. You'll hear it next.
Welcome back to the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's your host, former Shorecrest Preparatory All-District Safety, Paul Gallant.
Justin Verlander's back with the Astros. Framber Valdez threw a no-hitter last night, a text on the most interactive sports talk show in Houston. Happy Verlander is back. Just need to bring James Harden back to the city. Don't ruin the vibes, you son of a bitch and or daughter of a bitch. Don't do that. I do not want that schlep back in my life. Thank you. Don't say that. I know you're trying to get a rise out of me. Congratulations. You got the rise out of me. And now we move on. Because, guys, I know I've shared with you some of my stories before. The war stories of working over at the flagship. I told you about the one time where I asked to talk about the Astros, you know, in the midst of the first World Series run. And my boss brought me in to the office, removed his eyebrow ring, pulled out a pair of brass knuckles, and punched me right in the nads and said, "You'll talk about the Texans." And I have to talk about the Texans. I know that I'm free from the flagship now, but I must talk about what happened at training camp yesterday. Will you humor me? Like, we're going to spend the majority of the time, the rest of this baseball season until the NFL season kicks off, talking about the Astros, okay? Am I allowed to? I'm not going to go full wheelhouse and, you know, spend half the show talking about Texans training camp. I'm just doing it right here. Just right here. Okay? Oh, Sean, you son of a bitch. Oh, I haven't heard Clay Walker in a while. Now, this might get us more canceled than the misogynistic stuff that our callers said earlier in the show. But hey, guys, it's football time in Houston. It's finally here. So here's what happened in the quarterback room yesterday. C.J. Stroud threw another interception. He's thrown three interceptions thus far to Steven Nelson. It was a pass intended for Tank Dell. He's got 6 for 13 on the day. Three incompletions were the fault of wide receivers with drops. He also, in the two-minute drill, was not able to score with the offense. They're having a tough time moving the football. And I got to say, as much as I hate to admit it, Davis Mills has looked better at quarterback the last couple of practices. He once again made a ridiculous throw where he probably would have been sacked, much like it was Will Anderson the last time we said he made a great throw downfield. This time it was Jalen Petrie who would have sacked him. But he made a great crossbody throw to Nico Collins, 40-plus yards downfield over Jimmy Ward and Steven Nelson. Big deal or no big deal, Davis Mills has been playing better than C.J. Stroud. I'm still saying it's no big deal because it's going to be Stroud's ultimately, but I want to hear about an awesome day by Stroud. That's all I want. Just one day. As opposed to hearing that the only reason that Mills was stopped in the two-minute drill was because of a bad snap by his center, and that he also made a 20-yard throw downfield in this practice that took place on Tuesday. I need to hear good things about Stroud.
Yeah, can small deal be a option? Because it might be no big deal, but I'm starting to...
It's not a small deal yet. It's still no big deal.
Okay, so no big deal, but CJ, come on.
Big deal or no big deal, the first team defensive front, per our guy DJ Bien-Aimé, has shut off running lanes. Well, I will say that's a big deal because they were so bad against the run last year. So bad. And you're hoping that as a result of Sheldon Rankins being back, that the defensive line is just a little bit better. Don't you love this part of the Football Time in Houston song, by the way? Strength. The Texans are about to march. March. Toro's getting ready to charge. Oh. The mascot, though. They don't have a bull. All right, that's enough Clay Walker. We're probably going to be canceled now. Whoa. Well, that part was pretty good. I don't think I've ever heard this far into the song.
We are deep into the song.
We are really deep. Okay, more things coming out of Houston, Texas training camp yesterday. Henry Toʻatoʻo. I hope I got the name right. Every single time.
I think
time,
you did.
I'm
I think you nailed it. That's
I'm intimidated.
How they say it.
Every single time I see it, Sean, I'm intimidated to say
That's
it.
That's how his family says it.
He had a nice tackle for a loss, and he made up for a mistake that he had made the day before in practice on the very same play. So that's nice. Linebacker room seems like there's more competition. I think that is a big deal. He, Blake Cashman, in addition to Christian Harris. It's nice to see some young names that are making plays out there. Is it a big deal? Does that mean that Christian Kirksey is going to be moved to the side? He's been out of practice the last couple of practices. I do not know, but it does seem like of all the guys on the roster, Kirksey with his cap figure this year is the one that's likely to be a not even surprise cut. I feel like he is an easy clip for the Nick Caserio and company.
And between the linebackers playing well and the running lanes being shut off for the running back, the entire front seven has apparently looked awesome. You expect some of that in the first week in pads, but also that is when you hire D'Amico Ryans as a defensive coordinator and the cell is like, well, let's see what he did with the linebackers in San Francisco. He's apparently already paying at least some dividends.
Exactly.
So I think it is kind of a big deal, not just because of Blake Cashman, but it's a big deal for what it means going forward for the Texans.
Listen, all I want is for the Texans to not give up 300 yards on the ground to a team with a quarterback that's actually a running back. I'm talking about Justin Fields. Oh, Paul, that's racially coded. I mean, Justin Fields isn't a good passer yet. He might be someday.
I thought you were talking about Malik Willis.
Malik Willis.
I think they gave up 200 running yards to both the Bears and Titans.
They gave up 200 yards in that game. That was
they
the
gave
game.
Up 200 to Derrick Henry.
Well, that
one
was,
of the games.
That Texans Titans game was the one where I walked into the bowels of the stadium, walked a lap, and considered killing myself. And by that I mean just like ending my radio career and quitting because I was like, I don't love football anymore because the Texans make me so sad. There have been too many Sundays, whether it's Brock Osweiler or Tom Savage or Davis Mills, where, yeah, I haven't liked it. Oh, also, Dalton Schultz was out of practice again. So hopefully he's healthy. Brevin Jordan wasn't in practice either. So a tight end, big position for the Texans. You're hoping it's better. There you go. And that's going to wrap up our conversation about Houston Texans training camp. Thank you for allowing me to get it off my chest. I can't help it. I just can't keep all these hot Texans takes in. I can't. I've been conditioned by the flagship through flagellation and torture, waterboarding, having my family kidnapped. I've had all of those things happen while at the flagship.
Yeah, you cannot go one day without talking about training camp news and notes.
Right.
And that's because of the way you're conditioned.
Right. Like, the Astros could have won the World Series, but let's talk about Deshaun Watson's torn ACL the whole show. Did that actually happen? You're thinking to yourself, wait, that actually might have happened.
It might have happened.
It might have happened. That's the place that I used to work at. Is this the same place that said that, hey, Paul, you got to come home from, you know, your only sister's wedding the next day with a 7 a.m. flight so that you can do the
post-game show updates for a Texans-Rams game where the Rams are going to win 41-7? Yeah. Yeah. They made me feel guilty about staying with my family. Both sides, all together, for probably the last time I'll ever see any of them all together, because I'm not getting married anytime soon. My options are running out, as my mother said. Yeah, they did that. Thank you for allowing
they
me
They didn't make your options run out. I do want to clear some things up. Didn't make your options run out. They're not the reason. Well, man, they might be a reason you're not getting married, but
they are. They are.
Part of the reason.
The Texans are the reason I haven't been married yet. 100%. I couldn't date anybody.
Yeah,
couldn't date anybody for a while because I had to work weeknights. You know, at the flagship, talk about the same thing for 4 hours every single night. You know, thank you for allowing me to use you as my therapist. Because guess what, guys? The Astros are the best. They are the absolute best. They're making themselves significantly better than they were yesterday. The front runners in the AL West, the front runners in the American League with what they did. Verlander acquired. Yeah, you gave up a couple of prospects. Relax. They might be good someday. They might be bad someday. Operate from this perspective. Who effing cares? You want to have the best possible team you can for the rest of this year, for the next couple of years. Verlander makes it better. And it was going to be hard for you to get significantly better in the short term and long term without giving something up in exchange. Like that's where you're at with the farm system the way that it is. On top of that, Framber Valdez bouncing back from that awful start that he had against the Texas Rangers, huge. Absolutely huge. And I think from a confidence perspective, you will be hard-pressed to find a more confident team the remainder of the season in all of baseball than the Astros now that they brought Verlander back into the fold. I would say only the Braves have a strong argument to be swinging their thing around, knowing that nobody could potentially touch them. And I'm hoping, of course, that we do get, yes, in the World Series, a rematch. If the Astros don't make it to a World Series, the last question I will ask, will you be mad about this? Will you be mad that they gave up Drew Gilbert and Ryan Clifford? I think what you have to tell yourself when you answer that question is that those two were not affecting that this year. And I get the prospect people. I don't really like them because you're, I think, making a lot of assumptions and act like you know baseball better than other people, when in reality you're in the dark just like we are. Those guys weren't helping you this year. You got so much outfield depth. At this point in time, you just got to give yourself the best possible chance. And I will keep saying it over and over again. This is a great day for the Houston Astros. This is like when the significant other busts out the lingerie, cooks you a steak, and maybe starts doing things you didn't know that he or she was capable of. Yes, we're an inclusive program, Sean. I'm not saying anything about myself.
That is surprising how inclusive we are.
We're very inclusive. Yeah. Despite the first hour of the show being extremely misogynistic, we were inclusive of those misogynistic people, and we did not participate in the misogyny.
True.
That was yesterday's show when we dumped on the women's soccer team in Tucker Paulson voice. So there you go, guys.
That was the character of Tucker Paulson.
Yeah, it wasn't me. It wasn't me. Right. Those aren't my true thoughts. That's going to wrap up today's Paul Gallant Show. Big thanks to everybody who tuned in, texted in, called in, and tweeted in. Great day to be a Houston sports fan. Killer Bees are up next. For Sean Mapes, I am merely Paul Gallant. So long, farewell, have yourselves a wonderful Wednesday.
Peace!